at the meeting tonight. Prayer led by Pastor Katie Whalen from the First Baptist Church of Owosso. Pastor.
Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us safely to this meeting and for granting us the opportunity to work together. We ask that you bless those that are here to discuss the various topics that will move this city forward. Give us all open hearts and minds to hear from those that may think or feel differently than we do, and please remove any distractions that might make this meeting unproductive. Guide and protect us as decisions are made. And Lord, help us to leave this meeting fulfilling the goals that have been set and making a difference in the future of Owosso. We thank you now for answering this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. The roll call tonight will be led by Mark Drayton, the Senior Vice Commander of the VFW.
Veterans, present arms. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Order arms.
Roll call, or when you're ready, Madam Clerk.
Mayor Teich.
Here.
Pro Tem Osika.
Here.
Councilmember Fear. Haber.
Here.
Law.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Idek.
Here.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. This brings us to the approval of the agenda.
I will make a motion to approve the agenda.
Support.
I have a motion and support. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, the same. And the minutes of the regular meeting of April the 15th, 2024 are approved.
No.
Excuse me. The agenda is approved.
Right.
Thank you.
You're all right.
I'll
take care of you.
Yeah, you do. You're the best. This brings us to the approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of April 15th, 2024.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion and support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The minutes of the regular meeting of April 15th, 2024 are now approved. This brings us to the approval of the minutes of special meeting of April 29th, 2024.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion and support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The minutes of special meeting of April the 29th, 2024 are approved. This brings us to proclamations and special presentations, in which tonight we have one. And I would like the Poppy Queen and the representatives to come up to the podium, please.
Like me to start, or would you like to start?
I'll start.
There you go.
All right. So, the buddy poppy is a red flower that symbolizes the bloodshed by Allied soldiers in World War I and is the official memorial flower of the veterans of foreign war. The VFW started in 1922 and 1923, assembling these poppy flowers to distribute. In 1924, it was officially trademarked as the official artificial flower of the Veterans of Foreign War. The name grew out of poppy makers remembering their buddies that never returned home from war. This is to assist, aid, relief, comfort the needy, afflicted, disabled veterans of the armed forces and dependents, their widows and orphans, to maintain and expand the national home, which we have the only national home located here in Eden Rapids, Michigan. For the necessities, expenses, and providing entertainment and care for hospitalized veterans and members of the veterans, our armed forces, our veterans' rehabilitation, warfare, and service work, and to perpetuate the memory of our deceased veterans that have fallen in war. Our poppy queen, Helena, will read Flanders Field.
Flanders Field with a poem by John McRae. The Flanders Fields the poppies blow between the crosses row on row. That marks our place. And in the sky the larks, still bravely singing, fly scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead short days ago. We lived, fell dawn, sunset's glow. Loved, we're loved, now we lie in Flanders Field. Take up our quarrel with the flow. To you, from failing hands we throw the torch. It be yours to hold high. Be yours to hold high. To hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Fields.
Thank you very much. It's beautiful.
As tradition always goes, the mayor gets to purchase the first poppy.
That's an honor. Thank you very much. And all the success of selling a lot of poppies.
No, thank you.
We do.
I was going to read myself a little something, but you did it all.
Oh.
I was reading pretty much the same thing. So thank you.
No problem. Are we allowed to go?
You are absolutely allowed.
Got them all?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I still need to.
You want or need a dollar?
It might be Jerry. I wonder if they'll take a check.
Yeah. For $100? I still have these in my my flowers at my house from last year.
I put them in my visor in my drawer. I still have it there.
They're going to the pen. We have the pen, but this is the older stock. So next year we will actually have the pen. If we get some in, I will let you guys know.
I won't be here next year.
Yeah, I know where you live. Okay.
Are you going to be in the Kerwin parade?
Okay.
Oh, are you going
Wausau
or Corona?
Wausau. 94-55. Okay. I got the tags right here, so we'll fix them.
So 94-50, is that on Chipman Street?
Yes.
You got one already. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's why we're going to the
pen. Thank you, lady. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys, for your support.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'm
glad you guys come.
Thank you so much.
And one more. There you go.
Should have stuck that. There you go. Okay. You want to take it? Are you going to be here tomorrow? I can stop in and drop it off. I probably work from home. Oh, okay. Best you do.
Oh, I see him back there.
Or you can give it to the clerk. It's up to you.
This is what's killing me about being an independent contractor. It's almost 2 years. That's 4 months.
Yeah. Are you leaving tonight or tomorrow?
4 o'clock in the morning tomorrow.
It's going to still be dark,
though. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be dark. It's going to be driving right through Chicago. To Milwaukee.
Yeah.
They don't let us
go. Okay, we'll continue on. You can keep on selling poppies while we do our business. Not a problem. This brings us to public hearings, which we have none tonight. This brings us to our first citizen comments and questions, which you'll be afforded up to 4 minutes duration during the first occasion and up to 3 minutes duration during the last occasion. When recognized, please give your name and address and come to the podium and give your name and address and direct your comments to the mayor. At this time, is there anyone that would like to address the council? Mr. Mankey.
I have a couple things tonight. First of all, I'd like to know if there's anything, any further updates on the Fifth Third building. We've had a local developer that was in. She's been here a couple times, and she's kicking out everything she says she's going to do. They kick out and they get it done. If you look across the street, it's looking absolutely gorgeous. Fifth Third, we were told, what was it, 6-8 months ago, that they had $1.5 million given to them, and they were going to put in new windows and get that siding going. This is May. Nothing's happening. What I'm asking is, what is the city going to do about it? Are they just going to let that continue fly in the wind and nothing get done? I think our residents should know, especially when you have one that comes in here the other day that falls and hits his head and goes to the hospital in an ambulance. I think people should know. Number two is, I'm going to ask you to, not tonight, to, but to talk about it amongst yourselves and do a resolution supporting our zoning department. As you all know, that in February 2024, Michigan State, U of M Center for Local, State, and Urban Policy came together and they did a study. And they found that only 11% of Michiganders, only 11%, believe the state should be in operation of our local zoning. And that was done by U of M. And I think that it would be, it's not political, it's not whether you're one party or another, it's do you support local zoning for our community? I think that's very important. That we take a stand and at least let our voters know, because we have an election coming up, where you stand on whether you stand for local zoning or whether you stand for the state zoning. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mankey. Any other comments for the council at this time? Seeing none, I'll take it back to the city council for any comments. I have one, or a couple. First of all, I attended a soft opening on Saturday at Barrister Brewery. And all I have to say is it's down in Westtown. And I would recommend it to anybody tonight. They have excellent food. They have, of course, they make their own wine and beer, but if you're not a drinker, it's still an excellent place to go for food. It's just a really nice atmosphere. They put a lot of heart into it, a lot of sweat, and the inside of that building is just beautiful for a downtown Westtown building. So I would recommend it highly. The other is, I want to thank a lot of people tonight, boards and commission appointments. We have a lot of boards, and we have a lot of board members. It's up to myself, the mayor, to make sure that all these boards are filled with board members. So a lot of these members re-upped. It's all volunteer. These committees really make all the difference when it comes to how this city operates. Absolutely. When you have the DDA, Main Street, Parks and Recs, OHC, and I can keep on going on and on and on. We have probably over 72 at least volunteers of all the board members. And it's all time and their talent that they give. So I'm very much appreciative of all these members that decided to re-up. Michael Doyler for the City of Owosso Building Authority, Kevin Maurer, Building Board of Appeals, William Gilbert, Downtown Development Authority, that's the DDA, Allie McGuire, the DDA, Emily Olson, the DDA, William Byrne, this Downtown Historic District, Steve Teich, Downtown Historic District, Greg Verdure, the Brownfield Redevelopment Authority, Janae Fear, which will be showing up a little late tonight, about 8 o'clock. Planning Commission, Francis Livingston. Planning Commission, Dennis Mahoney, Parks and Rec, Carol Smith, Parks and Rec, and Thomas Taylor, Zoning Board of Appeals. And there'll be more next meeting. We got probably another 7 or 8. So we'll be announcing those appointments at that point in time. So thank you very much. I do, and we all appreciate it greatly. So, any other comments before we move on?
Should we address Mr. Mackey's question?
On
the Fifth Third Bank?
Is there any comments on the Fifth Third Bank city manager at this point in time or not?
That is included in my monthly report every month. I just submitted that. Those are available online. So take a look,
okay,
Jerry.
Sorry.
Okay. So go online in the city manager's report. Anything further from anyone? Seeing none, we'll go to the consent agenda.
I will make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Support.
I have a motion of support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Pro Tem Osika?
Yes.
Councilmember Haber?
Yes.
Heideck?
Yes.
Law?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes, the consent agenda is approved. This brings us to items of business, which we have 7 tonight. The first being the Gould House Purchase Agreement Modification, 21-day posting. And again, as always, we'll start with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On April 16th, the OHC, the Wausau Historic Commission, voted unanimously to recommend that City Council accept the revised purchase offer from Harrington Family to buy the property at 515 North Washington Street. They wish to reduce their offer from $360,000 to $237,000 to reflect needed repairs identified in a home inspection. Needed repairs cited in that inspection, which is available to you, are few things: lead-based paint abatement and encapsulation, repairing interior plaster, restore the original windows, move sewer waste lines away from electrical service to meet code, replace leaking main water supply, which is line in the house, repair cracked joists in the basement, add steel support beams where needed, waterproof the basement, replace electrical system where it's out of date with current code, and install a hidden fire escape.
Thank you, City Manager. I'll bring it back to the Council at this time for comments. Yes, Councilman.
What was the OHC's thinking about, or what is our thinking about, like, what happens if this offer is accepted at a lower price and they don't do any of these repairs?
Well, the gentleman has given us a letter. And in good faith, I hope that, you know, he's going. I mean, he spent a lot of time. He got quotes. He got inspections. He had over 100-page report. Were you able to read that report with pictures of what they have to do to it? There had been no money put into it all these years. We have the original electrical wires, original plumbing. It's just, you know, there's just so much. I mean, how can you sell a house and say you're going to do what you say? I mean, you got to have faith. And this gentleman is putting $5,000, has, you know, is going to put 45% down in money, and then he's going to finance the other 55%, which he's already approved. He's given us a whole layout. This is going to be his home. We even know where his butcher block is going to go in the kitchen. I mean, he has spent a lot of time. I feel very confident that this person is going to be faithful in what he says. I mean, all you can do is, you know, read what he agrees to do and what he's proposed to us, and just, you know, hope that, I mean, I feel that he will do that, and we will have a beautiful house again.
Lucy Ham, would you like to come to the podium, please?
Lucy's our realtor, so I wanted just to introduce you again.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming tonight.
You're welcome.
That was very, very, very nice. So I think I can answer that, as maybe you can as well. I mean, there's just never a guarantee of anything when it comes to someone buying a home, and they're going to say they're going to do up to $600,000 worth of renovation on the house. Mm-hmm. As Mayor Pro Tem said, there's got to go by good faith, number one, and then the little bit that we do have of all the work he's done already to do getting everybody to put all the cost estimates together and so forth. I don't know if you have any comment based on the councilman's question or not about how do you know?
They did a lot of work using local contractors and submitted all the local contractor quotes with the inspection. They could have used people from out of town or whatever, but they were legitimate quotes, and they spent a lot of time doing it. 100 pages worth of inspection is a lot of stuff. So they plan to live there, you know. You know, the bank doesn't have people. They have people sign that they're going to live there, but then if they do, you know, 99% of the time they do that when they say they're going to do it. Yeah. He's got a residential loan.
Sorry, can I ask a couple of questions?
You may, Councilor.
When you priced it for sale, I was under the impression that that was a fixer-upper price. It didn't seem to me like that was commensurate with a turnkey, completely modernized price. Otherwise, my expectation would have been that it would have been very much higher. So I guess I'm trying to understand how, at that price, we're now also responsible for making it completely modernized and up to date and everything else. Do you typically see offers? So two questions. One, how did you arrive at the price? Because I thought it was a fixer-upper price. Two, are you typically running into the situation where potential buyers are asking for a full rehab to be taken off of the list price?
Yeah, so I have the market analysis here, and I did give it to the historical committee. So the market analysis was done on homes that size that were already fixed up. All of them had already been renovated and fixed up. So the price was optimistic, you know, and that's what I'm supposed to do, is get you the most money possible. And, you know, they made an offer for that, but, you know, they changed it after the inspection, because visually you can't just see all of that that needs to be done. But yeah, all of the comparisons I used were houses that have already had all the work done.
So that property is not actually, like, they're estimating that if they do these repairs and things like that, it's going to be worth $600,000 by the time that they've finished their renovations and these structural repairs. So,
well, they haven't asked me what it's going to be worth after they're done.
Correct, but they're speculating. So if it had been, if these repairs had been done, what would the list price have been for you?
I didn't really research that, because it wasn't.
What I've read, basically, minimum amount of repairs that need to be done is $120,000, minimum. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they came up basically with their rebid based on that. But by no means do they think that by doing those repairs that it's worth $600,000. That's just to get the structure, the what I call the foundation-type things done to the house, electrical, those type of things. But it's not a full restoration. They're planning to do a lot more of that than that. And then they think they're going to have a total of their money, $600,000, into it.
There's a lot more on the inspection to be done. These are just like
the basic things.
The main things that are safety related.
I guess some of these things don't seem like they would have impacted the price that you would have listed it for, like a hidden fire escape. Some of these, like, I mean, the painting for between $22,000 and $144,000, I mean, it's like, that's a very big range. I don't know how you could sell a house with some of these prices built in the town of Owosso. Yeah. So, like, I guess I'm struggling with the idea that it's worth less than the taxpayers paid to put in air conditioning and new roof, and we're going to come out a loss right off the bat. Like, that feels so negligent to me for us to sell it under what we just put in. It just feels like I'm struggling with the understanding, because, and I know, like, there was a house, wasn't there a house over on Washington that sold for, like, $379 or something? That, you know, the big, really pretty red one that's on the corner of Washington and whatever. It's the one. It recently sold. And so, like, that house obviously was still in, I walked through it, and it was lovely, but it was completely dated. And it probably had the old plumbing and the old wiring and all that. And so I've just...
Well, I think that the painting that they put in there is not included. They did not deduct that from the price. The painting, you know, they put the painting in there as what it needs for painting.
Yeah,
but that's not part of what was deducted.
The 120.
Correct. That's not part of the 120. That needs to be done in addition to the 120. And there is a lot of peeling paint.
Yeah.
You know, inside, outside, there is a lot.
And then could I also ask, have you had any other interest from any other buyers?
Yes.
Like at the original price?
Yes, we had showings. Yes, we had showings. Yep.
And what was your sense of the market's response to the price?
I thought it was pretty good. You know, we were kind of reporting to Amy. You know, every time there was a showing or if they wanted to see the apartments, we needed her there. There was a good response. We had a lot of showings. And for the other people that didn't buy it, you know, mostly the comments were too much work.
Right.
You know, not because the work that the 120 that you do, that has to be cash out of your pocket.
Right.
You're not getting it from the bank. So not everybody really could afford to do that.
Right.
Yeah, unless they're super handy.
Yes.
Yeah. But we did have a lot of showings. We reported all those to the city office.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
So then
my follow-up question is to us, is how do we sell something for under what we just taxed? Yeah, go ahead. If you got an answer that logically works us around on this.
I do. The fact that we have to sell it for less than we just put in it is proof of why we have to sell it.
No.
Why? Because we don't have the money to bring it up to snuff out of our own budget to bring it to where it should be. Because that was what we discussed when we discussed selling it, was the fact that it still needs X, Y, and Z and was going to cost us X amount more dollars. And I know, real estate being my hobby, our median home price is a little less than the rest of the state. So, I mean, we're not going to get some of the numbers when you come, you know, try to look and compare with other cities. You're not going to get some of the same numbers. That was kind of part of our discussion on revenue sharing in the streets as well. Smaller communities get more revenue sharing because their home values are worth more. And that's just it. But to me, the fact that, you know, we've got somebody here now that wants to buy it, wants to restore it, wants to live in it and take care of it. If we kept it, it would just be another continuous drain on city resources for no real end. So to me, the fact that we have to sell it as a loss is proof as to why we have to sell it.
And my comment is, on the $250,000 that we put in it, we had to put in order to keep that house standing to where it is right now. So we were good faith with that money. That money needed to go into that house. The repairs that we did with the $250,000 were the necessary repairs. So we...
What? I don't have a problem with the money.
No, that's what I'm trying to... Right, I know you don't, but that... We use that money correct. I mean, right.
Right.
So we don't, I mean, right, it's not like we have to get that money back because we had to use that money to keep the house where it is right now.
And if we just sit on it longer, we're just going to have to put more money in it.
And we don't have money to put into it. So the more it sets, the more it goes down. And one day, it's not going to be there. That is what it is. I mean, that house has had nothing done to it. In 40 years.
I thought the original list price was ambitious.
Right. Well, hey, everybody's dream.
Give us as much as you possibly can. So I mean,
yeah, everybody's dream is to
revised offer.
And we knew there was a lot of repairs, a lot, but we didn't realize there was. You saw the attic and the basement and. You know, they just add it up.
So knowing all this, if the original conversation that we had when we first approved selling it, if they had come and said, hey, let's sell it for $237,000, a $13,000 loss off of what the taxpayers put in.
It's not a loss.
Would you have approved it moving forward, being like, yep, that's the fair square value of that house, and hopefully we can get $237,000?
If that was what we had to do, but we did not. We work with a real estate person. We did go at 360. Once they came in and inspected it, did you read that 100-page inspection that was sent to you?
No, I read this.
You did read it?
I read this.
Oh, not the 100-page?
No, not the 100-page.
Okay. Well, there was a very detailed, that would have helped a lot if you could have read that. Yep. There was a very detailed 100-page that he gave us. And I think if we had that, so I can't answer that question, yeah. And I'm not going to. So no,
at the end of the day, I just feel like it's.
Well, I can tell you where I'm coming from, yeah. Councilwoman, on that is that welcome.
Sorry. Hot topic.
Welcome. Is that frankly, I didn't know what the house was going to get, just because it was 360. Or whatever. Frankly, in real estate, that type of house, I was a wait and see, because you do 360. In my mind, I would have no clue what that house would bear when it came to who would buy it and for how much or what that house needed. Frankly. So the bottom line, it has been listed. When I saw the offer come in at 360, and though I saw it was contingent on inspection, I said, okay, now how much is it going to be lowered? Their reoffer, because I knew that it wasn't going to stay, in my mind, at 360. I didn't know what was going to happen to it. I look at it that it's $237. I look at it that's 45% down. They have some good history. They plan to move here. There's a lot of good things there. I also look at it that there's 21 days posting. This is not, even though, let's say we approve this tonight, doesn't mean, again, that a $360,000 offer won't come in 21 days. But all I know is that... I looked at one thing, and I've had old homes myself, and I went around that house. The first thing I looked at was the storm windows. And the storm windows are the old storm windows that you hang. They're wood, and they got the putty all around the windows. And there's not one window in that big house on just the storms alone that didn't need total restoration, all new puttying. And I couldn't even imagine, if you're going to keep that original and keep those type of storms, how much that would cost. Can't even imagine it. That's just one thing. You can go into that house, there's not one area you can say does it need something. It needs restoration. And if anybody's restored a house and done it right, it's a lot more to restore one than to build one. And this is a good earnest offer. I look at it. No, I do. Do I want 360? Yeah. Do I want 250 to break even? That would be nice on the marketing and on a political side. That oh yeah, we got at least what we put into it with our tax dollars and monies. But in reality, we do have a solid offer here, and the burden then goes off the city, which we're not made for. We're not into real estate. We're not into selling houses. That's not what we do, okay? And I'm sure the Lucy Hamm can say that selling a house for a city is not probably something that she does very often, and it's a different process than what she's used to with these 21-day waiting on every single offer or reoffer or counter or new offer. So anyway, to make it short, would I like more? Yeah, but I think 237 is something that I would support with the 21 day. Yes.
I understand that the
the city of Wausau had to have an appraisal before they put it on the market, and that appraisal came out less than 237.
That is correct. That is correct.
I'm sorry, but I feel like if we were expecting to get something way lower than what the taxpayers put in, then that information should have been disclosed originally when we first had this conversation, because weighing the cost to maintain the property and the cost that we would recoup from it would have been a far different conversation, in my opinion, if we had had all the numbers, which is what we'd asked for. What I was objecting to the first time was that we didn't have the raw data. We were being given the conclusion and asked to sign off on somebody else's conclusion. And if that is really the case, then I just feel like we're even more wrong to sell it, personally. Like, I think we were wrong then, and I think we're doubly wrong now if we double down on this and we don't allow at least to get a decent price for it. And you might think it's a decent price because of all these repairs, but I bought a house needing all these repairs, and I didn't negotiate $123,000 off of my purchase price. People buy a fixer-upper because they love old houses and they want to fix them up. They don't necessarily buy them because they're turnkey. So this is just, it feels like bait and switch, and it feels wrong on every level.
Any other comments?
Nick.
Councilman.
I understand what you're saying, Emily, and I think there's a couple things for me, like the economics of it. Like, I know that's what you're trying to grab your head around, and me too. I think there's a couple things. One, as you know, buying a house, like, your appraisal on that is your, as the buyer, is your insurance to say, what am I getting into? They're doing the due diligence like anybody mm-hmm. else, and like you would do on a house you buy. Having just done a flip, I had an appraisal done, paid the fee, knew what was going to be in there, and then got into 20 more things that the appraisal did not even catch, and had to spend a lot more money than I thought I was going to even have to do. So that brings me back to the economics of this, right? So it's like, I get that the taxpayer money to do the necessary repairs to stop the decline was something we had to sink. To Councilman Law's point, the fact that there's so much more work here than I think, you're right. Like, I would have loved to have seen this beforehand, but I think it just further reveals that this thing is even a bigger money pit than we originally anticipated, that there's a lot more. And so, and then the third thing is, you know, we've got with this buyer on the line, like, one, there's a, with the 40% down, it's a pretty significant show of faith. Like, you know, reminding me of that fact shows that they're committed on a pretty big level. It's not just like a, hey, give me a huge discount on this house and I'm going to put 10% down and not do the rest. So, and then fourth, I would say, you know, it's not every day that an inspection is publicly posted for every future buyer to go back and look at. So there is a fail safe that, like, you know, somebody makes an offer on a house in the private sector. They get an inspection done, and then where does that inspection go? Who knows? It goes to the person who bought it, right? So if they pass on the inspection,
yeah,
like, you have, and the next buyer has to pay for the next inspection. So the fact that this is publicly posted puts it in a pretty big bind for the, if this person goes to resell this house, that it's already just, here's all the work that needs to be done. So they're already that much further in the hole to get this thing to a place where they can even turn it. And it comes back to the other point, which was, I think, the genesis of this, which is like, this is a project that requires a lot of resources. And I would love for the city to be able to do that. I mean, that's been my position from the beginning. I would love to be able to restore this, but I look at all of the other needs that our city has, and they're quite substantial. And the fact that we have somebody that's bringing private money to the table, that can make a business out of this and live in it and make it their personal residence and rent the upstairs and put fire escape windows in there to hopefully control the quality or to increase the chance of life and survival in an old home and update the electrical to modern day. Like, that's a huge win for the city of Owosso, regardless of the economics not seeming to make sense. So that's...
If I could just correct, they're not going to rent the upstairs. They're going to live in the whole house.
Oh, okay.
They're renovating the whole house for them to live in. They'll be living upstairs as the downstairs is being renovated.
Okay.
And then they will be living in the whole house.
Okay.
Which is another plus. It won't be, you know, there won't be apartments. It'll be a home.
Or a minus, since we've identified that we're short on housing. But whatever.
What's that?
I said, or it could be a negative that it's going to be a single-family house when we're short on housing, and we've just spent two meetings ago discussing it endlessly.
Yep.
How we need more housing.
Yep. Always two ways of looking at things.
Yep.
That's for sure. Further comments? All right.
I'll make a motion to approve the Gould House Purchase Agreement Modification 21-day posting.
Support.
I have a motion to support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Pro Tem Osika?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
No.
Law?
Yes.
Fear?
No.
Haber?
Yes.
Heideck?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes. The Gould House Purchase Agreement Modification is approved. This brings us to items of business number two, Consumers Energy Electric Facilities Easement. And again, we'll start with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This easement is being requested by consumers and necessary to repair a utility pole that carries transmission lines serving one of the city's municipal well sites at 1233 East Oliver. The current pole is leaning, so they're taking this opportunity to replace not only the pole but the transmission lines, and they'll need this easement in order to do that.
Thank you, City Manager. Comments from the council regarding this item?
Make a motion to approve.
Thank you.
Support.
I have a motion to support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Councilmember Fear?
Yes.
Haber?
Yes.
Heideck?
Yes.
Pro Tem Osika?
Yes.
Councilmember Law?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes, Consumers Energy Electric Facilities Easement is approved. This brings us up items of business number three, MDOT Resolution of Support, M71 Washington Street Reconstruction. And again, I'll have it start out with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. MDOT has plans to reconstruct M71 from Corona Avenue to the Water Street, Jerome Street intersection for the 2025 construction season. The project plans call for converting the four-lane street into a three-lane street to incorporate bike lanes, mostly for the new Fred Meyer CIS trail, but it also fits with our master plan goals regarding non-motorized transportation. MDOT is asking for a resolution of support for the project, which includes roadway construction, water main replacement, storm sewer replacement and upgrades, curb and gutter replacement, signal modernization, and sidewalk improvements.
Thank you, City Manager. Again, I'll bring it back to the council for comments. Councilman Law.
When they narrowed 52, they absolutely screwed traffic up out of town. Absolutely. You cannot get around slower traffic. I got stuck Friday heading out to 69 going 43 all the way out because I couldn't get around the slow-moving semi like 152 was four lanes. It interrupts traffic patterns. We're going to run into the same thing here. Just last Friday, I tried to get gas at the Shell station there on Crenna Avenue, but their parking lot is so tight you can't maneuver around, and I couldn't get to the right side of the pump to get gas to my truck, so I drove down to Questown. The thing is that's going to mess up traffic flow through there so bad. As one who drives that, I live, eight blocks from that stretch. I use that stretch daily. And that's going to be the only stretch that's going to be three lanes? Really? We got two lanes through town, and then it widens out to four lanes, and then comes back down to three. Or are we going to end up having to redo that section of Washington that we just paid good money to redo to make nice once you get past Corona Avenue? We just had two long conversations on how we don't have money to do streets. So are we going to leave this three lanes button up to four lanes? You're going to have a left turn lane that's off-center from the oncoming traffic. You're not going to be able to see oncoming cars in the outside lane from Washington if we don't redo it. So this is going to force the city to spend money that we don't have. We've already determined that in our last two meetings. It's really going to mess up getting out of the Shell station because you need that inside lane. That outside lane, if I'm coming out on Washington Street, I need that outside lane to get out because there's so many cars coming on the inside lane. And then I've got two blocks to merge to get over so I can turn left on Water. If we shut that down, it's just going to mess up that entire corner. It's going to impede the flow of traffic. It doesn't make any sense to take the existing street the way it is and completely change it into a three lane that doesn't match anywhere else. And it's really just going to impede traffic on that corner bad. It's going to back up cars in the Shell station. Like I say, that's already a problem. You can't get in and around. They're so tight. Their parking lot is so tight. This is a massive, massive mistake. I've yet to talk to anybody that thinks 52 was a good idea, because everyone that drives it on a daily basis gets stuck behind somebody that you can't get around now to where we didn't before. And I think narrowing Washington Street through here is going to do much of the same for disrupting traffic on the corner there. I guess I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Councilman. Further comments? City Manager.
I forgot to mention that the bridge needs redecking as well. They want to do a lot of work to that. And just to be clear, this is a state project, so it's not going to be coming from our Act 51 funds. This is a state-funded project. And when you get to that intersection of Jerome and South Washington, it goes from four lanes now into two when it goes further north on South Washington. So that transition from four to two is already there. South of the tracks, it remains. It remains for, but I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you. Councilwoman Fear.
They had a public information session about this in December, correct?
Yeah.
Is this what it was about?
Yes.
Was there any feedback from that?
No, because in the memo it says MDOT held a public hearing, Wausau City Hall, on Tuesday, December 5th for public comment with no negative comments received. It was in our memo, so there wasn't any negative comments.
Councilman Law.
Just to add, City Manager brought up Jerome, and that's another good point. It does go from four to two, but the outside lane at Jerome is actually dedicated right turn, so we would lose that. And there is another thing that bureaucrats in Lansing don't understand. When you're coming home from work and there's railroad, there's train at Corona Avenue and Gould, nine times out of ten, I can hit Jerome down to Washington and still get home. Or if it's blocking Washington Street, I can turn around and go and still get through on Gould and Corona Avenue. The more we narrow this, and that's another great point, is turning left off of Jerome is also going to be problematic because you've got everybody forced into one lane again. So you're going to just slow up everybody trying to get through there. So that's just another great point. And as far as south of the tracks, yeah, I know it stays the four lane, but you're going to have three lanes meeting four lanes. So if we don't relane it, you're going to have a left turn lane that's too far this way, so I'm not going to be able to see the oncoming cars this way. Right now, it's normal. I got oncoming lanes this way, but if you narrow it, you shift everything. And that's more problematic with the oncoming traffic from that far lane. We would almost have to at least restripe south of the tracks to match. And that's where we get back into, I know this is state money doing the actual construction, but I'm talking about making city streets that we have that are our responsibility match that. And that's what I'm talking about with south of the tracks. We're going to end up with three lanes meeting four lanes, and that's going to be a bigger problem with the intersection. So,
thank comments? Not seeing any.
Make a motion to approve.
A motion to approve.
Support.
Motion support. Madam Clerk, this would be a roll call vote.
Councilmember Haber?
Yes.
Heideck?
Yes.
Pro Tem Osika?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Law?
No.
Mayor Tyche?
Yes, MDOT resolution of support M71 Washington Street reconstruction is approved. This brings us to items of business number 4, MDOT consent to grade. And again, Mayor, City Manager, we'll hand it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. MDOT is requesting, as part of this project we just talked about, to purchase temporary grading rights on the northwest embankment of the Washington Street Bridge. They're offering the city $500 to secure these temporary rights, and the final grade will not affect pedestrian access on the established river trail.
Thank you, City Manager. Again, I'll bring it back to Council for comments. Yes, Councilman.
City Manager, by it won't affect access, you're saying like it won't affect the sidewalk, like the pass-through traffic?
The final access. There will obviously need to be a detour while construction is taking place because they have to repair the bridge.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to make sure that they weren't getting us into a situation where the underpass,
yeah,
the Riverwalk underpass would be affected, and it will not.
So stay connected.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Further comments? Seeing none.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Councilmember Law?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Haber?
Yes.
Heideck?
Yes.
Pro Tem Osika?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Mayor Tyche?
Yes, MDOT consent to grade is approved. This brings us items of business number 5, lot split authorization, BL on Howard Street. And again, we'll start out with the City Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This lot split authorization application from C&S Rentals is for a vacant lot on East Howard Street, just north of South Washington Street. This is an industrial lot, and the application was reviewed by appropriate departments and is recommended for approval.
Thank you, City Manager. Again, we'll open it up to Council for comments.
I'll make a motion to approve the lot split authorization, VL on Howard Street.
Support.
I have a motion of support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Councilmember Heideck?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Haber?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Pro Tem Osika?
Yes.
Councilmember Law?
Yes.
Mayor Tyche?
Yes, the lot split authorization for VL on Howard Street is approved. This brings us to items of business number 6, marijuana license transfer requests. Again, I'll request the City Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This would approve a medical and recreational use marijuana license transfer from Classic Roots Farm to Hazed Owasso, LLC. And the location is 1115 Corona Avenue. Hazed Owasso will be taking over this location, and the transition of ownership will be handled privately through a sublease agreement arranged by those parties. Staff has no objection to the transfer, and we recommend approval.
Thank you. Thank you, City Manager. Again, we'll bring it back to the council for any comments. Councilman.
Is the transfer fee set by the state? Is there like a cap on that? I know the license, like the new licenses, is the transfer as well?
Same thing.
Okay. Yeah.
The state sets the cap, but the local municipality adopts the amount up to that cap.
Okay. Thank you.
Further comments?
I would just like to thank, we have the owner from Hayes Owasso LLC is here tonight, so thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion of support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Councilmember Heideck?
Yes.
Law?
Yes.
Haber?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Pro Tem Osika?
Yes.
Councilmember Fear?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes, the marijuana license transfer request is approved. This brings us to items of business number 7, brush burning at Aiken Road site. Again, we'll start out with the city manager.
Hang in there, just one more to go. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Aiken Road drop-off site has filled up again. This is where people drop off their leaves and brush. Staff is requesting another controlled burn rather than the more costly option of grinding. Last year, we burned successfully and would like to continue this practice as other communities in the county do so. This burning rather than grinding saves the city an estimated $20,000 as opposed to hiring a contractor to grind it. With that, I submit for approval.
Thank you, City Manager. With that, I'll bring it back to the council for comments. Councilwoman.
Ryan, do you know what the environmental impact is of making this more of a practice than a one-off? Because I feel like last year it was kind of like a, we've got too much, we're accumulated, we won't have to do this very often, but we want permission this year. And so I think that it kind of got through because we overlooked that. But if it's more of a permanent thing, I'm curious what the environmental impact is.
I'll be honest, I don't have any data for environmental impact purposes as far as, like, I'm assuming you mean like CO2 and stuff like that.
Yeah, like the effect on the population, and the effect on the environment, the effect, you know what I mean, like in general. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously other communities are burning on mm-hmm. a routine basis, and so I'm sure that there's data out there. I just don't know.
I honestly have not done any data on that. I will say that location-wise, it's almost perfect for us based on where it's at, because it's literally, it's out in the far corner. It's not in residential. We own a large acreage of area there. We did not have any complaints with it last year. And I guess I should make that comment. I was not clear enough last year that was what the intent wanted to be, was to make it a permanent thing. And just also to be clear, it's not only burning. It's a combination. So we still grinded last year. We still grind about half what the normal average amount is. But we burned more than what the backload was the first year that I got here, which was like a two to three-year amount that had combined, because there was not enough funding, so it just kept piling up and piling up and piling up until finally we bid it out, because it just it got to the point where there was no room. There's no space out there. And that was the beauty of this, was that not only did we get rid of that excess, it also allowed us to do some much-needed maintenance out there. I don't know if any of you guys regularly use the Aiken Road brush site. So in the past, how it had been, you got that drive in and out, and right there at the corner would usually be the DPW truck, big red truck, and then the worker would be working the weekend. He'd be standing there with the clipboard, you know, answering questions, taking names and addresses. And then you normally then had to drive all the way to the back where nobody can see you. A, you don't know what they're dropping off. B, what if somebody gets hurt? You know, I mean, yes, hopefully there's somebody else that would come through and see them in a timely manner, but there's no oversight. So now we've actually taken since we got more space and we had a worker out there kind of cleaning it up while monitoring at the same time, so kind of double duty in it, we rearranged it. So now we've brought all of those windrows forward, and then next we have the area where we drop off the brush from, well, backwards. We have area right up front now where the public drops off all of their brush, like on the Saturday drop-off. And then the next area over is where DPW goes around town and they collect all the brush, and then they load it up to the trucks and they drop it off there. And then after that is going to be all of the windrows, which is the farthest area back. So now the general public has no reason to be in the far regions of the back. They're now all up front. It's all, you know, you can see them, so you know what's being disposed of or dropped off. If somebody were to happen to trip, you could see it and attend to them. We've also added a few things because of some of the construction sites we've had going on. They asked us about their spoils that they had, which was mostly black dirt, because they had to actually remove the top layer to actually level things off at one of our well sites. And they were going to have to pay to dispose of it. And so I actually offered to, if, as long as they were willing to deliver it, to take it. And so now we have an area up front for black dirt for individuals. We haven't rearranged it exactly how we want yet, but we also then off to the far right have a pile of grindings, which can be used as mulch for the public. But that's kind of the goal, is to get it to be kind of a one-stop shop where it's all nice and organized. There's space. It also allows for just room for working, which has been quite a problem as of the last few years. There just was no room. The stuff does not decompose fast enough, and we've been getting a lot more than what we have. We, like I say, we burned last year approximately, it was actually more than what we had to burn my first year, or not burn, I'm sorry, grind the very first year that I was here, which was the year that we had to bid it out because we had so much left over from the previous 2 years. And so this would be weather dependent. We have to make sure, you know, it's not a dry season. And then also it can't be too wet at the same time, too, because it does need to burn. Because the whole idea is that if it burns up fast enough, hot enough, it does alleviate some of the smoke, per se. You don't get that just massive smoke screen. If it burns up hot enough and fast enough, it eliminates a lot of that. But it's a way to keep the current setup so that we don't have to raise rates, because you got to keep in mind that this is something that the residents pay for. So you got a couple different options here. A, you could raise the amount of tax money that is taken in for this specifically. You could stop doing it altogether, and you'd have to give that money back. But I will say that this is a specific feature that a lot of residents have complimented on, that they really like. They like having the pickup. They like having the drop-off. It's something that, you know, not everybody has this feature. And it's something that we then own and maintain, and we do contract out the rest of the grindings. And then those grindings, keep in mind, are also something that's needed to be mixed back in, because those grindings, they actually create pockets in the compost, and those pockets allow for, like, air and for your bacteria and organisms and stuff like that to actually do their job. If it was all super compact and there was no, you know, what do you want to say, gaps in there, it'd be hard for it to actually do it, them to do their job and actually decompose. So it's not a complete burn, but I want to make very clear, this would be an ongoing yearly thing that we would do. But back to your original question, I apologize. I do not have specific data, you know, about greenhouse gases or CO2. I just don't have that. Not to say it's not out there, but.
Yeah, like, how will we know if the cost reward, you know, or risk reward is like, if we're going, like, if we don't monitor it, if we don't know what our green footprint is on this particular thing, then how will we know if we're out of round with what's beneficial for the whole state, for the whole county, for any, like, I guess I would love to know that information, and I don't know how I would ever find it if it not from you guys. Like, we monitor the water, we monitor all the different things, so I would imagine that the tools that would be required to know
I would have the same source as you do, Google.
Oh. That's not encouraging.
No, seriously. I mean, as far as studies go, I mean, there's plenty of studies out there for everything.
Well, does the environmental Harvard Business Review weigh at all in your decision making? Does the environmental impact then factor in the equation for what, when you recommend this?
It does. Weight as far as, you know, what are our options, and what, I guess, personally what I've seen as the best solution. Not to say that it, you know, is the perfect solution, but that's kind of for the topic here, is for discussion for council to decide. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a panel of your peers, and these are great questions. And then that ash is also mixed back in. So it's not like it's thrown out or gone to waste. And keep in mind, like, you know, if you have fertilizer, like triple 12, you know, you got your nitrogen, was it phosphorus, and potash. So it's not like you're putting a contaminant in or something of that nature.
Yeah, no, I just didn't. For me, it's hard to know if we don't know where we're starting from, where the unacceptable level of pollution is going to kick in. Mm-hmm. And if we have no plan to monitor it, then it also feels like we'll never know if we're out of round. Mm-hmm. So it just, that's my concern, is a lack of knowledge.
I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Without having, you know, the question up prior, previous sure. to this, I did not have time to do
sure,
the background research. I mean, it's definitely something that, you know, I would still encourage you if you're curious to,
oh, yeah, no,
to definitely look into and let me know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always interested in all that information. But as far as resources go, I mean, I don't have a specific contact.
Yeah, okay.
Councilman?
Councilwoman Fear, was it you, I think when we first were talking about this, you had asked about the cost of buying or purchasing the equipment. Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
Okay.
Like the chipper and everything.
Yeah. So does the city own any grinding, or are we just all contracting out?
So there's a multi-step with process with that. We do not have that size of a grinder. We have much, much, much smaller grinders. We do have commercial grinders, but not, I would almost pan this an industrial grinder.
Yeah.
It's called a tub grinder, and they're a lot.
Yes.
And you're looking at six figures.
And the other thing that is part of when we usually do this is the actual maintenance and rotation of the actual windrows themselves. So the grindings that we still, like even last year, we still had grindings done. Those get mixed into the piles, and they get rotated quarterly. And there's a special piece of equipment that is utilized for that as well. It's actually really cool. It's kind of take like a C, but turn it on its side so that the opening's at the bottom, and they just drive right down the windrow, and it rotates this thing. There are other methods of doing it. I mean, you can just do it with a wheel loader, but it takes days to do it. I mean, if not, maybe a week or two to do it with, because we have multiple of these windrows to do it properly, to mix it up and to work all the way down. And then also there's screening of it once a year, where it gets screened so that the black dirt can get separated out, and that the what's basically needs to still decompose gets put back into the pile, and then the trash, because there's a lot of trash that ends up with all of this, also gets separated out and gets disposed of. So you end up getting like kind of a triple separation with it.
Is that something that contractors do in the price that we're paying, or is that DPW doing that?
It's a contractor, and it's something that I've our finance director hates this, but I've worked it into by paying them with dirt. Basically, we get currently 20% of the black dirt, and they get 80% of it, and they do the rotating and the screening included for that, I guess, payment of dirt. So, but it's all specialized equipment that we do not have, and if we did get it, it would be, I don't know if you could say that you would use it enough because of how much it would sit. They're usually done, you know, by companies that this is what they do. It's not just us. It's other municipalities or other areas that have some sort of a composting of sort of a field or setup.
I'm just asking, because I know you mentioned a couple options, but is there like another option where Emily's going to hate this, but like we just burn for the next 5 years and then take the money and buy the equipment that we need so we can build a sustainable program moving forward? Has that been considered?
It honestly was not one of the ones that we fully looked at. However, I can take a couple different angles at it right now, as far as the fact that you would lose out on multiple features of this because you're getting specialty equipment to do the grinding plus the labor. You're getting specialty equipment to do the screening, plus the labor, plus the disposal. You're also getting the labor and special equipment that comes to actually do the rotation. So you would not only have to save the money to buy special equipment, you'd also have to hire more people.
And the mulch and dirt that's available out there right now, is it just free to take?
For city residents, correct.
For city residents, okay. I'm assuming the contractors are then selling what they're taking.
Oh, absolutely.
80%, right?
Absolutely. So, it's a business.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's, for us, it's a real fair shake. I mean, we get what we need maybe a little bit extra, which is perfectly fine. It depends on the year. It depends on the projects. We have been utilizing quite a bit extra because of lead service lines and potholing. So when we do the potholing, we fill it back up with sand, we let it settle, and then we go back out, topsoil it, and grass seed it. So unfortunately, we've been going through a lot extra. But with this current contractor, I negotiated for 5% more than what we used to be getting, plus that old contractor tried to actually reduce it. It used to be at 10 when I came on board. He wanted to reduce it to 5, and then I was able to negotiate with another contractor for not only less money, but more dirt.
Okay.
It is a commodity.
Yeah.
Did you have something, Ms. Spear?
Yes. Over the years, we've had a lot of complaints from residents with breathing issues, mm-hmm. health issues, asthma. I'm assuming because of this location, it just goes east of town.
It would help.
Even...
It would depend on the wind direction, but generally, yes. And it would actually help for those purposes because the other, I don't know if you call it option, but the other situation that ends up happening is then more people end up burning at home, which you get into the populated areas, yep, you're going to have a lot of neighbors. And if it's a beautiful 70-degree sunny day and the AC is off and the windows are open, that's a potential downfall of doing it. How do I want to say this? More in the heart of the city. This is the far, far southeast outskirts. It's actually an industrial area. So there's no direct residence, you know, from the city standpoint right there.
Further questions for the director? Seeing none, I'd be looking for a motion.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion to support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Councilmember Law?
Yes.
Haber?
Yes.
Olson?
No.
Fear?
No.
Pydeck?
Yes.
Pro Tem Osika?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes. The brush burning at Aiken Road site is approved. This brings us to our second citizen comments and questions, in which you'll be afforded 3 minutes to address the council. Please come to the podium, state your name and address. Is there anyone at this time that would like to address the council? Mr. Mankey.
Mr. Mayor, you had asked our city manager about that. About the question I had on the Fifth Third Bank. And he tossed it back to, he sent you guys something and for you to read. And I was told it's online. It might be online for you guys, but I cannot find it for the general public. What I do have is I do have a letter that I did get from Mr. Henney on May 1st that says I understand the frustration on this property. And then he goes on to say that projects like this take time. How many years do we have to go? He says in here that they are making progress towards compliance. I don't know whether you guys know this or not, but they already lost one of their funding. Talked to Greg Bordura this week. They lost that money. And that was supposed to be used for siding and windows and such. So at what point do we say you're not complying? Would we allow a homeowner to do this? Is there one house in Owosso that we would allow a homeowner to do this and say, well, I'm just waiting for a loan or I'm waiting for a grant? At what point does the city step in? We see across the street. What good developers do. They get in and they do their job. They do what they say they're going to. 6 months ago, we were told, or 8 months ago, they claimed in a newspaper article. I wouldn't write the story because I don't trust them. Because 90% of the stuff that they say doesn't come to fruition. They told the Argus or the local daily that they had the money and they're going to be doing this. And here it sits. And I don't even know if they got a permit to take off the siding that was on there. There was a bad piece. I was there the night that the piece was loose. I seen it. But it gave them an option so they could take everything off so they could go for the grant money, because then it was brownfield. So I'm just asking, at what point is the city going to step in and say enough is enough, do what you say you're going to do? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McKee. Further comments to the council? Yes.
Yeah, I don't live in the city limits. Don Michaels, I live on Wesley Drive, East Wesley Drive. City of Owosso has a tendency to keep building, keep adding on, keep adding up, building up the soil. Well, that water's got to go somewhere. It's going in my yard now. You let, when neighbors, Bart's live next door, you let them build up. Let Harding and Floyd and them guys build apartments across the street. That was a field. See, the county said they'd help out. They dug the creek out and made a ditch across the road. Said that'd take care of the problem. Made it worse. I mean, it didn't make it worse. It just didn't help it. But with you guys keep building up, the more water I get from you guys. I mean, I'm just outside the city limits. I just wonder if you guys are ever going to do something about the draining system in Owosso to get rid of the water that is coming from you guys going in my yard. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Yes.
Hello, my name's Ross Michaels. I'm actually from East Lansing, but I'm living with my parents for the moment. I was a former economics board at Ingham County. I've also worked for the clerk's office in Lansing. And I don't really have a horse in this, you know, race with when it comes to the flooding. But I will have to say, like, I've dealt with these situations before, and ignoring it just kind of gets worse. Just like the old house on that corner that we were just discussing, this problem will get worse with the flooding. And, like, it's going to be a big fight between the city and the township. And I would suggest getting ahead of it before that happens, because that can get real ugly for council members, I found. I've seen this while I was at this the clerk's office when in Lansing, where a similar thing happened between, you know, city and, you know, different parts of the area. I don't know. I just kind of suggest that we fix it now before, like, this comes a huge cost to decide, oh, which homes were ruined due to the city, you know, the city's negligence on the, you know, on the flooding. That's just my suggestion. Again, like, it's concerning how little the city has done with the flooding, considering the river's, like, right there. Like, we've already had damages from, you know, the lack of understanding of how flooding works from, you know, prior buildings within the city. I don't know. It's concerning. I would look into the committees that are deciding on, you know, what is acceptable with the flooding. That's really all I have to say. If any of you would like to contact me or text me, my number is 989-472-7520. I'd love to have a discussion with you guys, because, like, it's so fascinating watching other cities, you know, city councils function and all that, and the differences and all that. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council for final comments. Councilman.
Mayor, can I ask the man who spoke about the drainage issue the name and address? I missed that. Sorry.
Oh.
Okay.
Don
Michaels.
With the address?
110 East Wesley Drive. Just take North Street straight north until it ends. Go east. I own all three of them lots.
Yeah, we own three properties.
And although it's only a problem right now outside the city limits, it will be
a problem within the city limits in a few years if we don't figure something out with the grading and plus the building that's going to be happening pretty soon within the city limits. So
you did give us your address. Is that where you live, too?
As of right now, we're...
Those are your parents?
Yeah, those are my parents.
Oh,
I'm in between.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good, you're good.
I couldn't figure out. Okay, got it. All right.
Didn't make that. I'm in between housing. I just thought it was, interesting to, chime in the city council and all that since I've had experience with other city councils and all that.
Okay, now everything's coming together.
Sorry,
okay.
That wasn't clear.
That's okay.
Further comments?
I'd just like to publicly state that the city manager report is on the city manager's page on the website. I can physically see it right now. Mm-hmm. So if you go to the city of Owosso and go to departments and city manager, you'll see Nathan's great headshot there. And right below that on the left-hand side is every city manager report since 2020.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate that. For the comments? Okay, with that, our next meeting will be Monday, May 20th, and I would be looking for a motion for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn. Support.
Motion support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the same. We are adjourned.